Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo 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 Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So, Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Chapter 10, The Opulence of the Absolute. Text 9. Machchita madgata prana bodhayanta parasparam katayantas chamam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service. And they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Pure devotees, whose characteristics are mentioned here, engage themselves fully in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Their minds cannot be diverted from the lotus feet of Krishna. Their talks are solely on the transcendental subjects. The symptoms of the pure devotees are described in this verse specifically. Devotees of the Supreme Lord are 24 hours daily engaged in glorifying the qualities and pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Their hearts and souls are constantly submerged in Krishna, and they take pleasure in discussing Him with other devotees. In the preliminary stage of devotional service, they relish the transcendental pleasure from the service itself. And in the mature stage, they're actually situated in love of God. Once situated in that transcendental position, they can relish the highest perfection which is exhibited by the Lord in His abode. Lord Chaitanya likens transcendental devotional service to the sowing of a seed in the heart of the living entity. There are innumerable living entities traveling throughout the different planets of the universe. And out of them there are a few who are fortunate enough to meet a pure devotee and get the chance to understand devotional service. This devotional service is just like a seed, and if it is sown in the heart of a living entity, and if he goes on hearing and chanting, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Hare Hare, that seed fructifies, just as the seed of a tree fructifies with regular watering. The spiritual plant of devotional service gradually grows and grows until it penetrates the covering of the material universe and enters into the Brahmajyoti effulgence in the spiritual sky. In the spiritual sky also, that plant grows more and more until it reaches the highest planet, which is called Goloka Vrindavan, the supreme planet of Krishna. Ultimately, the plant takes shelter under the lotus feet of Krishna and rests there. Gradually, as a plant grows fruits and flowers, that plant of devotional service also produces fruits. And the watering process in the form of chanting and hearing goes on. This plant of devotional service is fully described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila chapter 19. It is explained there that when the complete plant takes shelter under the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, one becomes fully absorbed in love of God. then he cannot live even for a moment without being in contact with the Supreme Lord. Just as a fish cannot live without water. In such a state, the devotee actually attains the transcendental qualities in contact with the Supreme Lord. The Srimad Bhagavatam is also full of such narrations about the relationship between the Supreme Lord and his devotees. Therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam is very dear to the devotees, as stated in the Bhagavatam itself, 12.13.18. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. In this narration, there's nothing about material activities, economic development, sense gratification, or liberation. Srimad Bhagavatam is the only narration in which the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord and his devotees is fully described. Thus, the realized souls in Krishna consciousness take continual pleasure in hearing such transcendental literatures. Just as a young boy and girl take pleasure in association. Much chitta madgata prana bodhayanta parasparam kahiyantas chamam nityam tushyanti charamati cha. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Niravishesha Shunyavadi Bastityade Jitarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vajkapatrulubhyasjagrika sindhubhyevacha padidhanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So the pure devotees engage themselves fully in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Their minds cannot be diverted from the lotus feet of the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Their minds cannot be diverted. Like, for example, the gopis. This month is the Katyayani Vrata, the whole month, beginning today. So the gopis, they worshipped Krishna. Well, they worshipped Katyayani, I suppose you should say. They worshipped Katyayani, but the idea was to get Krishna as husband. And they couldn't be diverted from that. They could never be diverted. Even when Krishna had left Vrindavan, then they, of course, in their transcendental distress in separation from the Lord, of course, they would go into different moods at different times. It was very turbulent, very turbulent, very deep, very amazing. But sometimes they would go into a certain mood and they'd say to each other that Krishna left us. He went to Mathura. He doesn't care about us. He just left us. And now he's involved with other women in Mathura. So he's not worried about us. Why should we worry about him? And the other gopis would say, yeah, you're right. That's absolutely right. Let's stop thinking about Krishna. Let's just stop. And one gopi said, yeah, I'm going to stop thinking about how Krishna would sometimes make garlands for us. And another one said, yes, I'm going to forget how he danced with us. And another one said, yes, I'm going to forget about how he stole our clothes at the end of the Katyayani Vrata. And they were all saying, yes, we're going to forget about how he did this, we're going to forget how he did about that and about everything. And at the end they realized, we can't forget him. We can't forget him. We're trying. We just can't. Pure devotees are like that. Just like, for example, the great Hare Krishna, welcome. The great associate of Lord Chaitanya, Murari Gupta. He was a Ram Bhakta. He was a Ram Bhakta. But Lord Chaitanya came and told him, you know, Ram, that's nice. Ram's nice. He's very nice. But Krishna, oh, Krishna's special. Krishna's just in another league. So why don't you worship Krishna? And Murari Gupta took Lord Chaitanya very seriously. So when Lord Chaitanya said that to him, why don't you try focusing your mind on Krishna because that's the highest? Murari Gupta said, right, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. So he stayed up the whole night, trying to focus his mind on Krishna and trying to forget about Lord Ram. The next morning, he met Lord Chaitanya. They started talking. And Lord Chaitanya said, so, you focused your mind on Krishna now? Are you experiencing that special nectar? Most devotees have some bhajan or Hare Krishna kirtan when their phone rings. I heard one, he had a cow mooing. Gaurachandra has something. Maybe it's to wake him up sometimes. So, yes, yeah, so you're relishing that special nectar now. That just unique nectar from focusing your mind on Krishna. And Murari Gupta, he hung his head down. And he said, you know, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I tried to focus my mind on Krishna and forget about Ram. And I tried the whole night, for hours. I tried and tried and tried just to chant the names of Krishna and to remember Krishna and study his pastimes and forget Ram. But I couldn't do it. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I let you down. But I tried my best. I couldn't do it. So this is a very elevated stage of Krishna consciousness or Ram consciousness, however you might put it. For us, well, for us, we find it easier to forget Krishna, isn't it? Have you ever been able to forget Krishna? For us, it's more a matter of how to remember Krishna. despite everything else. Despite work. Despite having to look after one's family and house and motor car and people and whatever's going on in material life, and maybe even television and Dilwale Dulhana Le Jayenge and things like that. So for us, well, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he puts it very nicely, very beautifully. Kabe habe bolo se din ama aparada gucci shudanama ruchi kripa bale habe hridaye sancha. Kabe habe bolo se din ama. When, oh when, will that day come? When? Aparada gucci, my offences ceasing, and shudanama ruchi, my taste for the holy names of Krishna increasing, and kripa bale habe hridaye sancha, some mercy just pouring into my heart, and in this way changing my mind, changing my life. Kabe habe bolo se dinama. When, oh when, will that day be mine? When will that day come? That great day. So, that is very advanced Krishna consciousness. That is not something ordinary. That is not something you can just sit down and say, okay, I'll think about Krishna. What would you like me to think about? Krishna? Okay. It's not so easy. But the pure devotees, they cannot forget Krishna. Hare Krishna. Please come in. There's lots of room. Come in, Mataji. Aye. I don't know how to say it in Tamil.
Vanga.
Vanga. Vanga. Vanga. Vanga. Vanga. Very good. Just like Radharani. One time Radharani complained to her gopi friends. She said, you know, I feel terrible. I feel unclean. I just feel like corrupted, rotten. I feel unchaste. She said that there's a boy named Krishna. And sometimes I see him and it's just overwhelming. Then there's another boy with dark skin and a flute. And sometimes I think of him. So there's two of them. And then there's a third boy. There's a third boy. And sometimes I talk about him or hear others talk about him. So there are three, there are these three boys. And my head is spinning. Because I am attached to three boys. And it is not good. But I can't stop. What to do? So like we said, this is a very advanced level of Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada makes the point, the first words in the purport are pure devotees. We're talking about pure devotees. Pure devotees whose characteristics are described, are mentioned here, engage themselves fully in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Their minds cannot be diverted from the lotus feet of Krishna. Their talks are solely on the transcendental subjects. So it is like that. That is the advanced stage. We're not on the advanced stage. We're somewhere. At least we're here tonight. We're here in Vishnu Chaitanya Prabhu's house. So that in itself is extremely auspicious. And we're here with all the devotees, and that's very extremely auspicious. And we're reading Bhagavad Gita. So something is right. Something is right. There may be many problems also in other ways, but something is right. We're there somewhere. So, this though, we have to cultivate. This is what the process of Krishna consciousness is about. Cultivation. And yabilashita shunyam jnana karma adyanavritam anukulyena krishna nu shilanam bhaktir uttama. Srila Rupa Goswami, in that special verse, Paribha Sutra, in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he's describing the most basic, essential, fundamental characteristics of pure devotional service in terms of things that must not be there, they cannot be there, and things that must be there, they have to be there. So no jnana, meaning no impersonal ideas, speculations like that, no karma, no materialistic religion, and anya abhilashita shunya. Anya abhilash, any other desires, shunya, zero. So those are negative requirements. If what you are doing is to be considered, could be considered possibly to be pure devotional service or uttama bhakti. Uttama. Bhakti, which is beyond tama. Beyond tama. Because tama, in one sense, is the fundamental factor in material existence. You may be in the mode of goodness, material personality, conditions. You may be in the mode of goodness predominantly. You may be in the mode of passion predominantly. But what is the basic problem? We have forgotten Krishna. This is the basic problem. So in that sense, I mean, there are different perspectives, but in that sense, the mode of ignorance has a very special position amongst the modes. Yeah. It has a very special position. Because you cannot be in material existence if you're forgetting, unless you're forgetting Krishna. That is the basic thing, as Prabhupada said. Forgotten Krishna, the fallen souls, paying most heavily the illusion's tolls. Yes. Darkness around, all untrace, save me, a fallen, your divine grace. Very beautiful. Verse from very beautiful poem by Srila Prabhupada to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Yes, so, yes, that ignorance, forgetfulness of Krishna is, in one sense, the fundamental condition of material existence. So, no jnana, no karma, and no anya abhilash, no other material desires. Because karma means religious materialism. That's what it means. Anya abhilash means gross materialism, no religiosity. Like, interesting point, Baladev Vijayabhushan in his Govinda Bhasya, his commentary on Vedanta Sutra, he discusses the first verse, it's actually the invocation, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. He discusses it. And he says, this Atato, it is a compound of the word Atta being repeated. Atta, Atta becomes Atato. Yeah. And Atta means thereafter, after something, then something happens. But this is now saying Atta, thereafter, Atta, thereafter. So two thereafters. He raises the question, what are these two thereafters which you have to go through to come to the point of Brahma Jigyas, inquiry into Brahman, into the absolute truth, spirituality, ultimately Krishna. So he says, first thereafter, you got to get out of gross materialism, like the animals, eat, sleep, mate, defend. If it looks good, grab it. That's it. This is great gross materialism. But this, even when human beings are living like that, effectively they're living like animals. Therefore the Bhagavatam calls them what? Purusha Pashu. Purusha Pashu. Man, animal. So, but effectively they're living as animals. It's just coincidental or whatever, they have human bodies. But if you look at them, they're just, their lifestyle is more or less typical animal. Okay, so thereafter you've given that up, you may inquire into Brahman. But then there's another thereafter. What is that referring to? He says that is referring to how after being just a man-animal, gross, sense gratifying, you have to give up religious materialism. And he says, you have to stop being religious animal. You have to stop being religious animal. What does religious animal mean? It means you want the same things, eat, sleep, mate, defend. But now, not just by grabbing them and taking them, but through religion. But it is the same animal life. So he calls it religious animal. You have to give up both stages. Then Brahma Jigyasa. Then you can inquire into Brahman. Then you may be able to begin to understand Brahman, the absolute truth. Yes, so anyway, these three negatives are there, Rupa Goswami says. And then three positives. That anukulyena krishnanu. First of all, it must be done for Krishna. Or the devotees are also included under the heading of Krishna. Krishna or his devotees. And it has to be anukulyena. It has to be done favorably. Means your attitude has to be favorable to Krishna. if it is to really be pure devotional service, you have to be feeling that, yes, Krishna, I'm serving you. How nice. Not like at the end of the Sunday program, you're the last one to leave the temple, you're just going out the door. The temple president says, oh, by the way, we need someone to wash all the pots after the Sunday feast. Could you do that? And you may think, oh no. Now you're washing the pots thinking, oh no. So that is not a favorable attitude. And it must actually be favorable to Krishna. I mean, it must actually please Krishna. Not that you offer Krishna. We were driving along and there was a whole series of advertisements. There's a bridge, or is it a bridge or the railway line overhead? And there's a whole series of advertisements for McDonald's. And you've got all these people eating hamburgers one after the other. And I thought, oh my God, what is this? So not that you can offer Krishna your hamburger in a very favorable way. Here, Krishna, you're welcome to the hamburger. But it doesn't please Krishna. Your attitude may be favorable to some degree, but it does not please Krishna. So these are two considerations of favorability. Your attitude must be favorable, but it must also actually please Krishna. And if your attitude is not favorable, even if you please Krishna, it's not Uttama Bhakti. And then, what we were actually talking about, you probably forgot already, was it has to be continuous, ongoing, unbroken. So that's anushilana, not interrupted. Your efforts in devotional service must not be interrupted by some material activity, then some devotional service, then some material activity, then some devotional service. So this is pure devotional service. No jnana, no karma, no gross material desires must be done for Krishna, must be favorable in both ways, and must be an uninterrupted, ongoing cultivation. And it's interesting, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada gives a very relevant example to illustrate the point. What example does Srila Prabhupada give in the purport in regard to cultivation? He gives the example of planting the seed. Yes, planting the seed. Prabhupada says that, let's see. That Lord Chaitanya likens transcendental devotional service to the sowing of a seed in the heart of the living entity. Yes. So it is a cultivation. We talk about cultivating Krishna consciousness. So we are not on this level of the pure devotees. But if we follow the process as given by Srila Prabhupada, in other words, if we cultivate the plant of devotional service, then gradually, step by step, we can come to that level. Not only we can, but that is the idea, actually. That is very specifically the idea, that you should come, you must come to that level, so you must work on it. You must work on it. You must cultivate. So this example is given by Lord Chaitanya in the 19th chapter of Madhya Lila, the development of the Bhakti Lata, the creeper of bhakti, the creeper of devotional service. It is a very nice example. Very nice. So the seed is planted within the heart through association with devotees. In one sense, particularly through contact with a bona fide spiritual master, but also in a more general sense, through the association of devotees. The seed of bhakti is planted within the heart. And then we must water the plant, or the seed initially. We must water the seed. And that watering is, well, in a broad sense, it's the process of devotional service, but particularly, and Prabhupada focuses here, particularly the watering process involves chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then the plant develops. And first of all, particularly on the level of sadhana bhakti, the beginning stages, first of all, two leaves manifest. Two leaves. One is that all your material inauspiciousness is wiped out. It's destroyed. This is right in the beginning. That all your difficulties, anxieties, and so on, if you're applying yourself nicely, all those things are done away with. That's one leaf. And the second leaf is all auspicious qualities start to manifest. All auspicious qualities, without making separate endeavor to become gentle, like being vegetarian. Just by being a devotee, you're automatically vegetarian. And you're automatically not taking intoxicants, etc., just by being a devotee. So these are the first two manifestations of progress in devotional service on the level of sadhana bhakti, that everything inauspicious is wiped out and all auspicious qualities start to manifest in the heart of the aspiring devotee. Then gradually the devotee develops further, or the plant of devotional service develops further. And finally, on the level of bhava, bhava bhakti, then the plant of devotional service starts to produce flowers. Flowers in the form of different devotional ecstasies and also certain devotional qualities. And finally, when the creeper has burst through and taken shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, those flowers become fruits. Those flowers become fruits. And the fruit is love of God. This is how that plant of devotional service develops. If we cultivate it nicely, we cultivate it nicely. Particularly, well, that positive cultivation of watering and like that, it has to be there. But particularly you have to watch out that no wild animals enter your garden. Particularly a wild elephant. You have Malaysian elephants? Ah, really? They're the same as Indian elephants or different? Smaller. In Africa we have African elephants. They're different. They're much bigger. So if a wild elephant, a mad elephant, enters your garden, you may have pleasant little garden with pleasant little plants growing. But if a wild elephant goes in, within seconds, your whole garden could be, as they say, history. Gone. A thing of the past. Everything could just be squashed and ripped out and just destroyed. What is the mad elephant? The mad elephant offense is to offend a devotee or to offend devotees. So, along with feeding the plant with water and other devotional activities which are like fertilizer and, you know, compost or whatever you might say, that will positively encourage the plant to grow. At the same time, you have to protect it from mad elephants or any unwanted presences, weeds. And how do you do that? Lord Chaitanya explains in the same chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, you have to put a fence around your creeper. You have to put a fence around your creeper. And what is that in terms of Krishna consciousness? The fence around your creeper means be completely circled by the association of pure devotees. That is the fence. And then how will the elephant or even anything else get in? Can't get in past the pure devotees. Won't let any other creature or unwanted presence come in. So this is very important. How to cultivate devotional service in the right ways, positively and negatively. Positively and negatively. Srila Prabhupada gives the example that Krishna consciousness, sadhana bhakti, develops in such a way. It is like a train. And a train runs on two rails, except for that train in the center of the city. It's a monorail. But anyway, traditionally trains run on two rails. So Prabhupada made the point that in sadhana bhakti, you have to do your positive cultivation of Krishna consciousness, plus you have to watch out for the unwanted things. If you just do the positive and you don't worry about whether you're doing something wrong or not, then you may become a sahajiya. This is the danger. Your Krishna consciousness may be infiltrated by materialism. I will be Krishna, you will be Radha, the rasa dance is so nice, so we will dance. I will be Krishna, you will be Radha. But then you're sahajiya. And on the other hand, if you're simply watching out, know this, know that, don't do this, don't do that, without positive attachment to Krishna, then you can become an impersonalist. Or at least you can become somewhat impersonal. Impersonally influenced. So, cultivation. It's a very scientific thing. how to cultivate Krishna consciousness in such a way that your devotional kripa is encouraged to grow as much as possible, and all the unwanted things are discouraged as strongly as possible. And if we carry on like that, then gradually aparada guchi, shudanami ruchi, our offenses will cease, our taste for the holy names will increase. And then we really start making some progress. Then we really start to progress. Then things get really nice. Up to that point, it can be a bit of a struggle, at least sometimes, if the anathas are sort of fighting back, if Maya is fighting back. Because she doesn't give up without a fight. She's not one of these people that you just say, you know, look out, here I come, and they immediately step back. There's a t-shirt, you may have seen, a t-shirt with "Declare War on Maya." That's nice. But we're very small. Maya's very big. So you've got to watch out. When you declare war on some big person, you've got to watch out. You really got to watch out. But take shelter. Take shelter of Krishna. Yes, so this is Prabhupada's expertise, actually, to give us Krishna consciousness, not just there you are, take it and run with it, but to give us Krishna consciousness in so much detail and so specifically, so finely tuned, that our positive cultivation is encouraged to the maximum, and on the negative side, what to watch out for and avoid and so on, it's very, very clear. This is Srila Prabhupada's special... Well, he has so many special expertises, but in relation to ourselves and our cultivation at this stage, this is his expertise. How to make it work. How to make Krishna consciousness work. So you don't end up with some distorted form of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada talks about people who are teaching Krishna consciousness, but not properly. Not properly. And, you know, they're not helping you to cultivate in the best ways, and they're not instructing you to avoid certain things you should avoid, etc. Prabhupada gives the example of a jackfruit. Do you have jackfruit here? Do you know jackfruit's big? But Prabhupada says, such a person who is not guided properly to really develop in the right ways, systematically, methodically, and in a broad way, Prabhupada says, there is a jackfruit, but it is that big. Kacha jackfruit. It's fully developed, but it's only this big. In other words, something went wrong in the process. Something went wrong. It should be that big, but it's only this big because something went wrong. So Prabhupada gives this example specifically that someone, he may think, oh, I'm fully Krishna conscious, look at me. I'm doing very nicely. This is someone who's not following Srila Prabhupada, someone following some other approach. And he thinks, yes, I'm very advanced, but he's not properly developed. And when it's fully developed, I mean fully ripe at least, but it's only this size, then you cannot do anything to make it come to this size. You have to cut it off and start again. That's all you can do. Because if it's fully ripe and it's that size, that's it. There's nothing you can do with it. So like this, people who are not trained properly in Krishna consciousness, they think they are perfect, but they're not. They haven't really made that progress, and what can you do? They have to actually go back and start again. So, we have to cultivate Krishna consciousness very nicely, following Srila Prabhupada very carefully, and gradually that Shuddha Name Ruchi, that taste for the holy names, that taste for hearing about Krishna, that taste for serving Krishna and associating with the devotees and all these different aspects of Krishna consciousness, that taste will develop very, very nicely. And then when that taste comes, then all the other unwanted things, they drop away. Just like we mentioned Murari Gupta. Murari Gupta. Previously, he was a little on the impersonal side. Murari Gupta. When Lord Chaitanya was just a little boy going to school, Murari Gupta was a little on the impersonal side. And one time, but he's an eternal associate of the Lord. It's just not manifest. One time, Lord Chaitanya, as a schoolboy, saw Murari Gupta walking down the street with a friend. And he heard Murari Gupta was speaking to that other person, the friend, some impersonal ideas. It's all one. You are God. Lord Chaitanya didn't like that. Because he knew, this is my eternal associate, my eternal devotee. We don't want this. So Lord Chaitanya, as a young boy, and mischievous young boy, he started walking right behind Murari Gupta. I mean, that far behind him. Like right, walking in his footsteps. And Murari Gupta said, "It's all one." And from behind, little Lord Chaitanya said, in a sarcastic voice, "It's all one." And Murari Gupta wondered what's going on. But he carried on. And he told his friend, "You're God." And Lord Chaitanya right behind him said, "You're God." And Murari Gupta spun around. But Lord Chaitanya right behind him spun around with him. And he couldn't see what's... And eventually caught Lord Chaitanya. And he said, "Nimai, what are you doing? How dare you do like this? You're from a respectable family. You can't do like this." And Lord Chaitanya, little Nimai, said, "What do you mean I can't do like this? What about you? What about your, it's all one? You are God. What about that?" And Murari Gupta was bewildered. He didn't know what to say, didn't know what was going on. And Lord Chaitanya said, "You want to know what I think about these ideas of yours? You want to know? I'll show you. Just wait. I'm going to come and visit you at lunchtime, and I'll show you exactly what I think about these ideas of yours." And then Lord Chaitanya left. He was in his school clothes. He was just like 6 years old. So, a little later, Murari Gupta went to have lunch, sat down, his wife put put nice plate of prasad or whatever in front of him, and he's just about to start when who should just appear in front of him but Lord Chaitanya. He just appeared out of nowhere, dressed as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Mariah couldn't believe it. Lord Chaitanya is just standing right next to the plate of prasadam, which is in between the two of them. Lord Chaitanya is looking down at him. He said, "So, it's all one, is it? We're all God, is that right? Well, I told you I'd show you what I think about these ideas of yours. This is what I think." And he urinated on that plate of food. Lord Chaitanya urinated on it. He said, "You see, that's what I think about these ideas of yours." And then suddenly Lord Chaitanya just vanished. He was just not there. And Narayana Gupta was totally, completely bewildered. So after some seconds, or maybe 30 seconds, he pulled himself together. And he thought, "Wow, what is this? Who is this boy? Is he Vishnu? What's going on? I know what I'll do. I'm going to race to his house. I'm just going to run to his house and see if I can catch him, you know, dressed up." And so he ran over there much faster than a six-year-old child could. And he got there. And there was Jagannath Mishra. "Oh, Murari Gupta, welcome. Where is Nimai?" "Oh, well, he got back from school about half an hour ago. He's with his mother." And Murari Gupta went in. There's Lord Chaitanya in his school clothes, with spots of ink on his clothes and his face, sitting on his mother's lap. And Murari Gupta came running in. And Lord Chaitanya looked at him, little Nimai, and said, "Oh, Murari Gupta! Please accept my humble obeisances." And he offered his obeisances. And Murari Gupta offered his obeisances. But he didn't know what to say. He just went home. So anyway, the thing is that we need to cultivate our Krishna consciousness nicely. Particularly hearing and chanting. This is what Krishna is saying here. "The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me." So we should try to cultivate our hearing and chanting, all of our Krishna consciousness, but beginning with hearing and chanting. And gradually attachment for the Lord will awaken. And eventually one will come to that point where one cannot forget Krishna. And that's the perfection of life. Hare Krishna. And just see what the gopis did. Katyayani Vrata. Anyway, we'll explain about that maybe on Sunday at the temple. Any comment or question? Yes.
Maharaj, if you said that spiritual things, you it passes on to your next. This is my understanding.
Yes.
And material things will just exhaust themselves. So now, if a person is doing spiritual things, then he does the Vaishnava Aparad. So So does that destroy whatever spiritual thing he has already had?
It covers it over very heavily. Covers it.
So to uncover it?
Well, yeah, it takes a great effort. Takes a great effort. And a lot of mercy, and a lot of prayer, and a lot of regret, like that. So, but that can uncover it again. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur discusses it very nicely in Madhurya Kadamani. He says, it is something like a person who becomes very sick. And when he becomes very sick, food, he may not be able to eat. Food can't help him. So the devotee who's in that severely spiritually diseased condition, he may try to chant and chant, but he just can't get into it. Just can't get into it. Because his Krishna consciousness is so much covered over. But then he explains that the holy name, after some time, being little satisfied, not really satisfied, but little satisfied, that at least this fool and rascal is really trying despite being a real fool and rascal, then the holy name feels all right. I'll give him another chance. So then he may be able to get back into it. And gradually his Krishna consciousness may again start to manifest. The holy name will start giving his mercy, just as the master of a servant may give some mercy to the servant.
So it's not like a right small gesture.
No, well, see, that's a different example, a different context. Someone who is cultivating Krishna consciousness in the wrong ways. Not just someone who's like a regular devotee, but then they make some serious mistake. This is someone who has really, from the outset, cultivated Krishna consciousness in the wrong ways. But they think they're advanced. As far as they're concerned, they're perfect. But they're only, you know, they've only gone so far. And the thing is, when something is perfect, you cannot improve it. So when someone thinks they're perfect, at least according to them, they cannot be improved. Yeah. So if they're really fixed in that sort of idea, then you can't help them. Because you can't improve something that's perfect. Therefore, you know, among many other things, we're advised to never think that we're making much advancement. But always to feel, you know, that I'm pretty useless and, you know, I need the mercy, I really need the mercy. Because as soon as we start thinking, yeah, well, it's going good, I'm doing pretty good here, then it's sort of the same phenomenon, but maybe in a lesser way. But then we kind of close ourselves off from the flow of mercy.
The difference between what is being religious and what is being spiritual.
being religious means worshipping God or demigods or doing some ceremonial type of program of that sort, ritualistic type of program, for some material end, for a material, to get a material result. That is religiosity. But spirituality ultimately means pure devotional service. Spirituality in the broad sense can include Brahman realization, Paramatma, but ultimately pure Krishna consciousness, pure devotional service. So your average, you know, like at Thai Pusam, your average person who's carrying the kadadi or, you know, participating, what is their idea? To get something material. That's the idea. Not to become a pure devotee. Not just to render service to Krishna or to whoever their deity is, just for their pleasure. But at some selfish end. So religiosity basically means that.
There was a conversation, or rather, this president of India, Abdul Kalam, when some guests came to see him, and he knew that they were coming from some ashram, he asked his press secretary, whether are they from a religious movement or a spiritual movement.
Right.
So yep. What would be the understanding of people who are not exposed to devotional life, but who are assuming that they know spirituality?
Something impersonal. Yeah, like the Shivanandas, the divine life, Rama, Krishna. Well, divine life, they're more on the spiritual side. Or the Mayavadis, yeah. So, yeah, you do get some people who are not devotees, but they understand there is a distinction between the two to some degree. Yeah. And even we in our preaching, depends on the audience, but sometimes we definitely make the point that we are not religious. We are not a religion. We are spiritual, or even Krishna consciousness is a science, a spiritual science. But it's not just a religion in that popular sense. Give us this day our daily bread. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Enough.